Greetings. Greetings once again. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everybody here with us back on the podcast. We call it a podcast now. We no longer call it a broadcast. Anyway, good to have everybody with us. Some sad news, some very sad news out of Japan. Yes, this is from the Pagan Nonsense file. Reikado Hall is a holy site at the top of a mountain in Utsukushima Island. And for all of you who may not be familiar, that's near Hiroshima. Just, yeah, that helps. Uh-huh, it's near Hiroshima. Okay. Well, so up there on the top of the mountain at the holy site, Reikado Hall, they have they call it an eternal flame. Why do they call it the eternal flame? They say that the eternal flame at the Reikado Hall has been lit continually since it was lit. It's been burning continually, I'm sorry, since it was lit by a Japanese monk in 806 AD. So obviously the term eternal is a figure of speech because, okay, so, but we don't want to put too fine a point on it for our Japanese friends over there. Well, what happened was the eternal flame was busy burning away there when suddenly it engulfed the entire temple in flames. That's right. The temple was reduced to a charred and blackened shell there on the mountain. Not sure if it's still qualified as holy after the fire. I would assume that the fire doesn't affect the holiness status, even if it was burned. Now, you might not want to hang out there because, you know, with the burning wreckage and charred and all of that. But still, and then the question has to be asked. Now, the hall burned to the ground, they say, despite, let me see, can I find it here? Despite dozens of firefighters responding to the scene and attempting to douse the flames. So the question has to be asked, did the eternal flame stay lit after the fire, or did the firemen put the whole thing out, and do we have to start over? In the whole 860 AD, as impressive as that is, I mean, it may not actually be eternal, but still, that's a long time, right? Do we have to start over from, well, as I read through the article, the hall, Reikado Hall, the holy site, up there on top of Utsukushima Island mountain, a mountain on Utsukushima Island. I don't know what the name of the mountain is. Maybe it's Reikado. Anyway, that same hall, that same holy site has suffered repeated damage from flames over the years, ironically enough. Imagine that. You have an ancient building made out of rice paper and old dry wood, and you decide to keep an eternal flame in there. And every once in a while, the place burns down. The last time it burned to the ground was 2005. It was badly harmed during a structure fire. No word on whether or not the eternal flame was put out by the firemen back in 2005, and maybe they just don't count that. Well, we don't count when the firemen put it out because, you know, we had to stop the fire.
Why?
Well, anyway, it's a figure of speech anyway, eternal. Anyway, so the reason this comes from the Pagan Nonsense file, and I just want to remind everyone out there that all religion is a cheap, fake knockoff of Judaism. Everything. Every kind of religion there is a cheap, fake knockoff of Judaism, which was the only real religion given by the only real God to anyone. And when God told the Jews to light a flame there in the temple, I'm sorry, in the tabernacle, He never called it an eternal flame because God's not faking it. He doesn't need to. Yeah, that's all.
Eternal flame is in hell.
Yeah. Well, there are some, even those are flames that will burn into eternity, but they have a beginning, you see. And God's not faking it. He doesn't have to pretend. To call something eternal, technically, it would have to exist forever in the past and forever into the future. And so God doesn't have to fake it with the flame he put in the tabernacle. He said, all right, I'm lighting this. This is for the Jews. And he did command them to keep it lit. If I'm not mistaken, that you know what? I have to check that out to see if I've not misinterpreted that from the Bible. I'll look into that. Maybe put together a whole Bible study on the the not-so-eternal flame on the menorah in the tabernacle. There. Okay, so from there, listen to this. We go from a holy site on the top of a mountain in Japan to a new movie called Hellgrind. Uh-huh, that's what the name of the movie is Hellgrind. And it debuted at the Cannes Film Festival this past week or month or whenever they do that over there. And this is billed as the first feature film produced on an AI platform. And so that's the big news. This is from the Death of Entertainment file. And I'm not implying that entertainment is dead. I'm implying that if you imbibe entertainment, you'll probably die. Maybe this should be the Death by Entertainment file. I think I'm going to change it right now because I'm authorized to change the name of the file, even in the middle of the show. From the Death by Entertainment file, the new movie Hellgrind. Did you get that? Hellgrind. The news is that it's been made by AI. And then when you read the story, you find out it's not really made all by AI. It's some AI, and then it's mostly people, and not a whole lot of people, but man, mostly people. Anyway, it's all rather convoluted as to why this is even news. I think it's news because the guy in charge of entertainment, which is, by the way, Satan, he likes having the name Hellgrind in the news because he likes that name. I want to remind everyone there was a time in America when you could not have named a movie Hellgrind. You couldn't have done that. Not only would the movie not have sold, you'd have probably been arrested, thrown in jail. And the cops probably would have beat you up. Even the cops in L.A. But now the name of the movie, Hellgrind, is in the headlines, and the devil likes that because he likes people thinking about bad and immoral things. So he likes bad and immoral words and titles in their minds, and he likes them to go see more than any of that. He likes them to go see movies like this. And so he wants to make sure everybody... So there's more about... Oh, listen to this. The director of this movie, her previous work was called Sicko. That was a movie. Uh-huh, it's a girl. Well, I think it's a girl. They say, they call her she in the article.
That's her AI.
See, oh, yeah, well, the director's not AI. Okay. Well, at least far as I know. It's they put her name here, but I can't pronounce it. Zolda Scali. Never heard of this person. Never heard of the movie Sicko, but I just want to... It's disturbing that you can name a movie Sicko and then release it because... Doesn't that seem bad? But apparently not anymore. Anyway, so there you go. The Death by Entertainment file. One thing I do not recommend you do this weekend or next week or anytime in the near future or distant future is go see movies. Just stop it. You're squandering and wasting your time, number one. You're corrupting your mind with filth. And even if you buy the software that takes out the really, really dirty parts... It's not good for you. That's all. So I would stop watching movies. I quit watching movies a long time ago. It's been the best thing I ever did. No, not the best thing. The best thing I ever did was get rid of TV. It was astonishing to discover how much of my life I was squandering watching television. It's been fantastic. Okay. So I highly recommend that. Take your TV, chuck it out onto the concrete deck, and watch the smoke rise. Although, TVs don't break like they used to. When I was like, I forget how old, probably 10, 11 years old, my dad got mad at either the evening news, the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite, or it was 60 Minutes, I forget. But he actually took our TV and he threw it out the sliding glass door onto the concrete deck, and it blew up like a bomb. Terrified the whole neighborhood. And that was it. We didn't have a TV from the time I was 10 until I was, I don't know, 15 or 16 years old. My dad wouldn't allow it in the house. Anyway, we found other things to do. It was fine. Let's see. So from there, and now the next thing I want to get off is the internet. Just completely get off reading news on the internet, which would mean I have to stop doing this show. But I'm pretty close to that. You know, I've been threatening that for at least 2 years because I can't take this anymore. But like having to read stories from the New York Post, just that right there. Just reading the word New York Posts. I'm sorry, did I say posts? I'm sorry. Reading the title, the name New York Post, that in itself is a sin. To say that word, New York Post, out loud, because other people might hear that, and then they might look at the New York Post, which means you've contributed to the diminishing of that human being by exposing them to this filth. So you know what? I'm not going to say, I wish I could take that back, but I'll stop. From the bad government file, we go to Washington, D.C., where we can always count on finding some bad government. Bad governors, bad governance, all of that. You may or may not know that President Trump had filed a $10 billion loss. That's how he says it, billion. You roll the L on the back of your tongue because it makes you sound rich. $10 billion lawsuit against the IRS. You remember Trump had filed that because the IRS rifled through all his taxes and broke into his house and all this other stuff. I think he was suing the Department of Justice, the IRS and the Department of Justice, everybody, the people who rifled through his papers and broke in his house and all that. Well, Donald Trump has, I believe he's settled the lawsuit against the government, of which he is now the chief executive. That's weird. So you're suing the people who broke into your house, who they all now work for you. Tell me we're not at the end of this grand democratic experiment, okay? All right, things have gotten pretty strange. Anyway, he dropped the lawsuit in exchange for, first, an apology. Why? Because he's Donald Trump and he's an egomaniac. So if you want to make other people apologize to you in public, it's because you're an egomaniac. Because making someone apologize to you in public is of no value to them or you or anybody else. If someone doesn't volunteer to apologize to you, the apology is fake, phony, worthless, and it might even be sinful. So just shut up about that. But Donald Trump wants an apology. Even if it's fake, he wants it. Because it's like all the trophies and awards he has. He knows they're all fake, mostly all fake. And then, but he likes them anyway because he's a pretty fake person. I mean, he's like most people, fairly fake. Gets by on a lot of fake stuff. And, you know, if as long as it keeps you interested. So what has he decided to do in the settlement to stop the lawsuit from going for the $10 billion, by the way? Billion dollars, not million, billion. He's forcing the Department of Justice to establish a $1776 million, a billion. I'm sorry. Did I say million? I meant million. No, I meant billion. $1776 billion fund to compensate victims of government weaponization. That's right. Now, you all may remember, I do remember this, in January 2025, when Donald Trump took office, one of the things he said in his extremely long self-indulgent speech was that he was going to end the weaponization of government. That was one of the promises. And so, according to the settlement now, anyone who believes they've been unfairly targeted by any administration could apply for compensation from the Justice Department from this new anti-weaponization fund, which is I'm not very good at math here. You know, I don't care about money, so I rarely count it. $1,776,000,000. Although they call it you get it, 1776? Do you get it? You're supposed to notice that, and you're supposed to stand up and show your We the People tattoo, put your MAGA hat on backwards, and MAGA. 17, So it's only $1,776,000,000. But anyway, what does this mean in reality? Donald Trump came to Washington vowing to end the weaponization of the government against people, which, by the way, goes all the way back to, like, Nimrod. It's like 5,000 years of that. Donald Trump says he's going to end it. Okay. Well, like so many good things that Trump projected onto other people and about other people and out of his own fantasy mind, reality has squashed all of his good intentions and all of his big talk. And now he's set up a fund that actually assumes that weaponization of the government is now officially acknowledged as a function of government. And instead of being ended, Donald Trump will simply regulate the weaponization of the government. Now, are you going to tell me that that intro is not better than Satisfaction by the... Come on. And that's like a cover of an old blues standard.
I know.
So anyway, like that Stevie Vai by accident, rolling out of bed half awake, could come up with a better... All right, let's get off that, though. Let's go from Stevie Vai versus Keith Richards, okay, to the Organ Grinder file, where we check in with MAGA Organ Newsmax. And with what they ground out it's a couple weeks ago, actually, because I didn't get to the story last time I was with you because my interest tapered off toward the end and I just threw everything in the garbage can. But then I picked this story back out. I took there was a pastry on top of it, but I scraped all that off because I thought the story was important enough. I didn't eat the pastry. There was only a little bit left, just a little crust on the outside and some of the cream filling and topping kind of mixed together. Okay, so I threw all that away, but I took the story out, and it turns out that Newsmax, MAGA Organ, was assigned by the Trump administration to tout the following headline. More than 4 million, I'm sorry, more than 4 million children enrolled in Trump accounts. That's right. You've heard of the Trump accounts. Well, Newsmax dutifully reported that the parents of more than 4 million American children have signed up for Trump accounts. And there's a roar of applause from the crowd. Newsmax is reporting this story from a fellow party organ, the Washington Examiner, who's a party MAGA organ. They both grind out the same sausage every week, and they're very reliable. The Newsmax reports that there was an early surge of participation in the socialist theft program called Trump Account. That's where Donald Trump and his administration takes money by force from people who earned it and gives it to the children of people who didn't earn it. And it's called socialism, and we would have railed against it, except that we're all socialists now. And being a socialist, you can now be, that's also included in being a conservative somehow, because it's Trump doing it. I don't know. It's some sort of Trump derangement that I don't quite get my head around. Well, why was there an early surge in participation? Well, because Donald Trump was giving away $1,000. Yeah, you'll get a surge when you're giving away other people's $1,000. Newsmax calls this Trump's signature economic initiative, listen to this, designed to expand wealth-building opportunities for American families. That could have been written by Barack Obama's press secretary, for crying out loud. And everybody's pumping iron in their tattoos up for Trump. It's just shocking. Listen to this. Newsmax actually says it will usher in an ownership economy. They actually use that word. No, it'll usher in a state socialist society. You kind of got that just slightly off, like 180 degrees the wrong way. It's not ownership when you're receiving stolen money. That's the opposite of ownership. But over at Newsmax, they know what side of the bread their butter is on, or I forget how you put that. They know who's buttering their bread, I should say. Anyway, all right. If you haven't participated in the theft of my money to give it to your kid, let me tell you how you do it. You get a direct $1,000 contribution from me. You could think of it as me, or you could think of it as the federal government if you don't want to feel so guilty about taking my money. You could basically sign up, fill out a bunch of forms, and participate in what they call seed funding. Yeah, that's what they call the money they stole from me to give to your little brat. Supporters say, okay, so of course Newsmax is going to report on what supporters say, because the people getting $1,000, they're supporting this. They say it represents a fundamental shift in economic policy focused on the expansion of private ownership rather than government dependence. Are you kidding me? So Newsmax already said that earlier, and now they're reiterating it, and they're just as wrong in the reiteration as they were in the initial iteration. Yeah, uh-huh. But they actually say it twice because, I don't know, they're trying to fill space, or maybe Trump pays them by the word. I'm not sure why they would have to repeat that. The Treasury Secretary, I forget his first name. It says Bessent. I think it's Scott, or maybe it's Jeff or Biff or Frank. I forget. Bessent described Trump accounts as, quote, communist. Yeah, no, he didn't say communist or socialist or theft or tyrannical or outrageous. No, none of that. He called them a singular moment in economic history. Okay, Mr. Bessent, listen. Most of us aren't paying attention all the time to what you're doing in the government. But to call the theft of money from producers and the giving it to other people in order to win votes, that's not a singular moment in economic history. That's pretty much the way things have been going the whole time. Okay, so you're not really breaking any new ground here, Mr. Bessent. He also follows that up with, the Trump accounts will, quote, make every American a stakeholder in the nation's prosperity. Okay, so obviously you need to leave a little flexibility for the meaning of the word every, because if you're making every American a shareholder, I mean, are you counting the people you're taking the money from and the people you're giving the money to? Are we now all to stakeholders because like I got robbed and he got my money, so I guess we're all in the same club? I don't know how that works. Okay, but there you have it. Let's see. Every American child, listen to this, is eligible to receive a $1,000 contribution immediately invested in an index fund. Okay, so I was a child at one time. Do I qualify, every American child? I didn't get mine. Can I? Maybe we can retroactively apply and try to get the $1,000 back that Donald Trump and Mr. Bessent stuck a pistol in our ribs and took and gave to. I'm sorry if I implied that your kid was a brat. Okay, it's only because I'm upset about them stealing my money and giving it to your kid. If they hadn't stolen my money and given it to your kid, I wouldn't think of your kid as a little brat. I would. But you know what happens with socialism is it tends to build angst into the society because certain people are getting robbed, certain people are getting paid. The people getting robbed hate to get people getting paid. The people getting paid start to resent the people that they're robbing, and eventually everyone starts shooting at each other. Not that that's ever going to happen in America. I mean, it's never happened before, so. Okay, so let's move on from, what file was that? That was the organ grinder file. Uh-huh. On to the big green brother file. Oh, this is... So while the government, while Donald Trump's Justice Department is setting up a billion-dollar fund to regulate weaponization of the government and stealing $1,000 from anyone they can get their hands on and giving it to other people's kids, Donald Trump's Department of Justice is seeking the identities, addresses, and purchase histories of at least 100,000 people who downloaded a car app. It was a car maintenance app that called itself Easy Link with a Y because that's cool. And by the way, Easy is just the letters E-Z because, you know, that's cool. So the Easy Link app billed itself as a way that you could download your own codes from your car's computer so that you could do your own maintenance. And so already there's a bunch of people who really hate to hear that because they don't want those of us who know how to turn a wrench, they don't want us to be able to know exactly what's wrong with our car so we can fix it ourselves because they're a bunch of tyrants and they're all tied in together, paying each other off and ripping us off. They're all tied in with the socialists in the government who are robbing us blind. And so you create, but the technology tends to democratize things and give the little guy a little bit of power against the man and the structure and the powers that be. So the little guy can download his own codes. I have a device like this, download my own codes, figure out what's wrong with my car. Why? Because I don't know. I guess I'm a rebel. I don't know that I have this particular one. I'll have to look. Easy Link with a Y and the letters EZ. Let's see. Supposedly to understand what your vehicle is trying to tell you so you can make your own repairs. But the Department of Justice says that in reality, Easy Link helped consumers bypass computerized emission controls on cars. With the government claiming that the device was intended to disable emission controls on your car. And it was all a cover. And what the secret agenda of the Easy Link guys was to disable emissions controls so that your car could run faster and have better gas mileage and do all kinds of things better that the communists have choked your car off from doing over the past 30 years by insisting that they're going to clean up the air and all of that. And so Easy Link, now the Trump Department of Justice, is subpoenaing from Google and Apple and Amazon and Walmart and everyone else they can get their hands on to get the information on these 100,000 people who may or may not have used the device to bypass emissions control technology on their car. So I just want you to know where the priorities of your government are, even with Donald Trump at the helm. You know, I would guess that if Donald Trump heard about this, that he would stop it. So it's on notthebee.com. So if the Babylon Bee's heard about it, I can assure you that people in Donald Trump's inner circle know about it. And so hopefully he will stop the persecution of people just trying to get out from under the communist green. You know, green is the new color of communism. And the communist green controls that they've put on everything over the last, well, at least the last 20 years, have been designed not to clean up the environment, but to force everyone into a socialist death camp eventually. So that's a slight exaggeration. It's only slight and only at the moment. So hopefully now that we've alerted the Justice Department, hopefully they're not mad at us for calling them a bunch of tyrannical communists and they'll try to get the DOJ off our back. I'll have to look at my device, see if it's an Easy Link. If it is, and I have not accessed the ability to bypass the emissions control on my car, I'm going to be very disappointed in myself. So I would have thought I would have been able to figure that out. But I wasn't really looking for that. Now I'll go look. I'll go download the manual and see how do I get that. All right. Meanwhile, there was a man firebombed a demonstration in Colorado last year. You remember this? In 2025, a guy firebombed a bunch of peaceful demonstrators, burning one of them to death. Yeah, he was a pro-terrorist, and he threw the firebomb on Jews and other people who were protesting the October 7th massacre. Shockingly, the guy's name was Mohammed Sabri Soleiman. I know, right? He threw a firebomb on some Jews and Jewish sympathizers, probably Zionists. He burned one of them to death, and he's now been sentenced to life in prison, allegedly without the possibility of parole. Why do I say allegedly? Because we've seen people sentenced to life without parole get off on parole. And since the guy's a Muslim, he automatically qualifies for extra attention from the suicidal maniac leftists who run the country. And so he'll probably, and all he did was burn one Jew to death, for crying out loud. I mean, do you want to hold that against the guy for the rest of his life? Listen to what he said in court. He said, speaking through an interpreter, because, you know, he doesn't want to speak the language of the Western dogs. He said, quote, "If I went back, I would not have done this. This is not according to the teachings of Islam. What I did came out of only myself and only myself. It does not have anything to do with Allah." And so he says he's sorry. Prosecutors still have a federal case against Mr. Mohammed. And they are weighing whether to seek the death penalty in the federal case. But the state of Colorado decided, no, none of that. I mean, it's only one Jew, and he seems like a nice Muslim guy. So we give him life, and then we'll say without the possibility of parole. But we always know that there is the possibility because, you know, where there's life, there's hope. And anytime the government can reward a Muslim for burning a Jew to death and make the liberals feel better, there's a pretty good chance we may take that route. It's the Weekly Worldview. That's right. So we're running a contest for guitar intros. We're running that for quite possibly the rest of our lives to try to demonstrate that even the accidental intros come up with by like the hair metal guy, whatever. Just okay, but so from that, was that offensive to talk about only burning one Jew? That was meant to be offensive for anyone who, doesn't understand the gravity of sentencing someone who sets another human being on fire and kills them. The gravity of not putting this person to death cannot be understated. And the reason I included the Jewishness is just to intensify the shock and horror at the fact that the state of Colorado is letting this guy live. It's despicable. It's blasphemous against God. And all of that. Okay. And so that's the murder side of things. By the way, when the state allows a guy like this to live, that's the equivalent of the state murdering. What's his name? The governor there, Jerry Polis. Jerry Polis, yeah. So he thinks he made some points with everybody by pardoning the girl whose name I forget, but the heroic election denier. The reason she was denying the election was because it was fixed and faked and rigged. It's good to deny things that are fixed and faked and rigged, and it's even worth going to jail for. And I'm forgetting her name, but we all know her name. The girl who's in jail out there in Grand Junction, the old lady. So he pardons her, but then the equivalent of murdering a Jew, which Jared Polis would be highly offended if he heard that anyone was accusing him of murdering Jews. But that's what he's done. He's participated in all of that. Okay, so from there, that's the murder side. Now we go to the big fraud side, where we check in with Ilhan Omar, who, as far as we know, she hasn't actually murdered anyone, although she has participated in the greatest mass murder in the history of all mankind, which everyone in the Western government said they all have blood on their hands, in the greatest mass murder in human history. As far as we know, I'm not going to say I have documented everything, but everything I'm aware of, there's never been anything compared to the Holocaust against innocent children that began to be legalized around the 1950s and 60s in the Soviet Union and then here. And the number of people murdered, innocent people, by the way, I would posit that never has more innocent people been murdered since the mechanized, industrialized murder of innocent children began to be legalized over in the Soviet Union, then over here. But this is, so Ilhan does have blood on her hands on that one. But generally, she's just a thief, okay? The murder she's involved in is kind of accidental because of her office, but the theft she does on purpose. The theft she's actually planning and plotting and participating directly in. And now she is caught up, according to the Liberty Daily. This is World Net Daily. Ilhan Omar is caught up in investigations of massive fraud. And this has been going on. How long has she been caught up in this? How long have all these investigations been going on, by the way? How long ago did DOGE start? Wasn't that like within days of Trump being sworn in 2025? It's well over a year ago, right? And I remember the numbers that were coming out were astonishing, the amount of money that was being stolen. And that was just what they were uncovering. You knew that was just the tip of the iceberg and the rot was deep. And you knew it was all coming, right? Well, what's happened? Ilhan Omar is still in Congress. She should have been in handcuffs with a raincoat over her head, dragged out of a building and thrown in the back of a van, for crying out loud. She's still in Congress. But she has made a statement. She says, any claim that I had any knowledge of this scheme, and I don't get me wrong, I understand it is a scheme. It's obvious you've caught somebody stealing lots of money. I see that. But any claim that I had knowledge of this scheme is flat out false. The Meals Act, I want to remind everyone, the Meals Act, from which I have been accused of stealing massive amounts of money, millions and millions and millions of dollars, the Meals Act was signed into law by President Trump, and it was passed with bipartisan support. It was Donald Trump's USDA secretary himself who set up the regulatory framework. I have always championed feeding kids. I mean, not my own kids, because I don't have any kids, because I'm evil to the core. But other people's kids, I want to feed them. Your kids, bring me your children. I want to feed them right now. I have a granola bar in my back pocket at all times, just in case I need to feed a child. I'm dedicated to it. And I will continue, despite these vile accusations, which are flat out false and untrue and not true in any way, and lies and flat out false. I will continue to ensure our children do not go hungry. And by our children, I don't want to imply that I've had children with my brother whom I married, because we don't have any children. I haven't had any children. And when I say our children, I mean your children, because I believe your children are my children, because I'm a communist maniac. Pirate. I'm from Somalia, for crying out loud. let's see here. She goes on. That's all the tape we had from the press conference. She goes on. She says Oh, wait, we do have more tape? Oh, that's encouraging. The moment this fraud came to light, by the way, the moment the fraud, the massive fraud in the Meals program, which, by the way, Donald Trump signed, the minute this fraud came to light, immediately I sent a letter to the Secretary of the Department of Agriculture demanding answers and accountability. You can go and look and see the letter that I sent the moment the fraud was discovered. It was right when I started to discharge all of the wealth that I had acquired over the past That's right when my, as soon as my net worth started dropping from the $30 million down to the current $100,000, I sent that letter. You can see it is in the official record. It's official now, I know. I had filed documents claiming to be worth $30 million. Now I claim to be worth only $100,000. That is simply an accounting error. There was one dot, you move it a couple of spaces and you never know what can happen with your accountant. That was embarrassing, but I've taken full responsibility, by the way. Okay, so that's Ilhan Omar basically accusing the Donald Trump and his administration and the Congress of setting up the system by which she stole all this money. She basically says, it's your fault, you set it up. And you know, the thing is she has a point. As funny as she is, she does make a good point. Because many of the people she mentioned, the people who concoct these welfare schemes who, in order to buy votes, meaning almost everyone in the Congress, almost everyone in the deep state, the people who come up with these welfare schemes in order to ensconce themselves into office, a lot of them have gotten fairly rich as well. Yeah, including all the congressmen and the senators, but then also bureaucrats who are making 100,000, 120, 140, 160, 220, whatever they're all making now, they're doing pretty well. And they've come up with these welfare schemes and they've administered them, and somehow this theft and fraud has taken place. Obviously, none of the people in the Congress or in the bureaucracy have been involved in any way. It's all been really bright, scheming Somalians who barely speak English and can't even add and subtract, who figured out how to steal all this money. Yeah. Okay. So the thing is, and I just read an article about some a Somali pirate immigrant who got sentenced to 40 years. She can probably not even spell her name in English. And she's a tool of people like Ilhan Omar and Barney Frank and Chuck Schumer and Lindsey Graham and Donald Trump and Barack Obama and George W. Bush. And you just name them. Bunch of criminals. Bunch of criminals robbing the Treasury for my entire adult life. And now they're going to throw a few ignorant Somali pirates in jail. And then they're all going to walk away with their millions and millions of dollars. Anyway, it's just, don't think we haven't noticed that all you bastards got rich while you came to help the poor, huh? All right. Anyway, the fraud scandal that erupted back in 2025, in my opinion, and I am cynical and jaded to the core, but I can see it happening already just in the past 12 months. Since the initial furor that erupted, which was justified and righteous, we should have all been angry to realize how badly we've been being robbed. But the scandal, in my humble opinion, it's going to end up being a lot like the Me Too scandal, right? Because just like the whole Me Too situation, everyone's actually in on it. The reason Hollywood was not able to resolve itself in any righteous fashion over the whole Me Too situation is because they're all in on it. And the fraud that's happening in the federal and the state governments and all the socialist welfare programs, they're all in on it. They pass the rules and they've navigated the rules and they've taken a little here and a little there and before long there. So they're all corrupt and tainted by it. So they'll sacrifice a few of, there may be the sacrifice of one or two politicians who are particularly distasteful. Miss Omar, she might want to keep her eyes open over her shoulder because there's a lot of people she annoys, probably even on the left, because of her astonishing arrogance and stupidity. And so she might be one. There might be one or two congressmen or bureaucrats who are sacrificed because they're particularly horrible people and everybody hates them. But for the most part, there will only be the constituents who took advantage of the socialist programs that were designed to have them take advantage so the politicians could take advantage. The constituents will mostly be the ones sacrificed into prison and all of that. But the big players, they walk. Just like me too. It ends not with a bang, but with a whimper. Oh, no, no. We already advised against going to the movies, but so we just wanted to let you know that it's not just the 80s where people could accidentally come up with better intros than Satisfaction by Keith Richards. But yeah, I know what the hippies say. They say, well, but everybody had the Stones to copy. And yeah, I'll give you that, that, you know, the Stones were ripping off blues guys from the 30s. Along with Elvis and everybody who was ripping off all the blues guys from the 30s. And then, of course, Led Zeppelin came along and they industrially ripped off. But they all were ripping each other off because, well, they're musicians and they're generally morally deficient. But just as far as who had the best guitar intro, well, we'll just let the music speak for itself, and we'll continue to make this point as we move forward. And we will also continue to point out the fact that China is in the process of conquering Western civilization just because we're lazy, stupid, and greedy. I got that in the wrong order. We're greedy, lazy, and stupid. And the Chinese, they're greedy. But they're not lazy and they're not stupid, only because they've had a much harder time than we have over the past 60 years or so. We've had it pretty easy, so we've got real fat and soft. And so, in fact, it's gotten so bad that the mayor of a town, a city in California, this is astonishing. She has pled guilty to being a Chinese spy. The mayor of Arcadia, which I think is a suburb of Los Angeles, her name is Eileen Wang, and she basically has pled guilty to being a Chinese spy. She's pled guilty to, quote, acting as an illegal foreign agent. So that's what the lawyers come up with when they don't want you to just be called a spy. So she was a spy for China, and she got elected as the mayor of Arcadia. Why? Because the people of Arcadia are stupid, lazy, and stupid, and not paying attention, and stupid, and the elections in L.A. are rigged. We all know that. She's made a plea deal. So she's resigning from her office as the mayor. Really? Is that part of the deal? Like, you're going to admit you were a spy? Okay, well, the first thing we're going to have you do, if you want to make a deal, is you're going to have to resign as the mayor of an American city because, you know, what with you being a Chinese spy and all, we just think it would be polite so we don't look so stupid. It's a city near the San Gabriel Valley in Los Angeles County. She was elected to the city council in November of 2022 and went on to become the mayor because, I already said it. She then worked with her fiancé, it was not Eric Swalwell. We don't know where he was when this was all going on. This is a different Chinese spy. Yeah. Listen to this. She worked with her then fiance, which we found out later is now her ex fiance, which means he was never actually her fiance. They were a couple of Chinese spies, for crying out loud. Which is worse than like millennials who say everyone's there. Oh, it's my fiance. Well, that just means you're shacking up. Nobody's buying that anymore. So that's what spies do, too. Oh, it's my fiancé. Well, actually, it's the guy stuffing some money in the suitcase and the whole spy thing. But yeah, your fiancé. His name was Mike Soon. They worked on a website together. They claimed it was a news site, but it turns out that they were actually carrying out direct orders from Beijing through the website. It's all documented, not only the orders from Beijing, but their reports back to Beijing. So the government started recording everything these Chinese spies were doing. And when they came in with the case, they've made a deal. So what are the odds that the Chinese and the Chinese spies are paying off someone in the government, in the justice system there? Oh, by the way, this is from the justice system file. This is justice system. That's supposed to be with a Chinese accent. That wasn't that good. All right.
I don't know.
No, it wasn't that good. That's all right.
That's Japanese.
What? Oh, yeah. That's the thing is, I don't do a good Chinese.
No, I don't know.
No, I'm corrupted by hanging out with too many Japanese people. I can't pull off a Chinese. But the thing is, do you think there's a chance? Am I too cynical to suspect that someone in the justice system in California or Los Angeles County may be being tainted with Chinese spy money in order to let this lady off with a plea deal? Is that okay? Because I just want to let you know that's my suspicion. How is it this person does not go to Leavenworth? Is it possible she's paying someone off? I think it's totally possible, even highly likely. And, this is why it's from the Justice System Fire. listen, this is hilarious. You can't make this up. Wang and Sun were... because you can't make it up. Turns out they're Chinese spies. No way, not Wang and Sun. Are you kidding me? I thought they were from Minneapolis. I thought their mom and dad graduated from... All right. So they did all this. And anyway, it's all been documented. The case was drop dead, hands down. And somehow she got a deal. And we're supposed to look the other way. And the folks in Arcadia, you should just hang your head in shame, number one. And number two, you should be trying to do anything you can to reform the ballots. However this communist spy got elected as your mayor, you should be wanting to straighten that out, okay? That's all. On top of all your other obligations that you already have to serve your fellow man. Okay, and now speaking of Chinese spies, listen to this. Henry Lee, do you remember him? He was the forensics expert who testified on behalf of O.J. Simpson trial. Oh my gosh. We all got to know him during the O.J. Simpson trial, if you're old enough to remember all that. Henry Lee, it was weird to me watching the O.J. trial, thinking Henry Lee is bound to be putting O.J. in prison because he's like the most respected forensics expert in the history of forensics. And everything he said was completely convoluted, and basically he helped O.J. get off. It was weird to watch, I'll tell you. Well, it turns out now we know why Henry Lee seems so strange. It's because he's a Chinese spy too. That's right, he was born in China. But he served as the Connecticut State Police Commissioner and investigated all kinds of notorious crimes. You know, you've heard of him, right? Elizabeth Smart, JonBenet Ramsey, Chandra Levy, Lacey Peterson. Wait a second here. Three out of five. Anyway, so he's not that impressive. Before he even got on the OJ Dream Team, Lee, that's right. That's why I remembered I was suspicious. This guy was a prosecutor who hired onto the OJ team for money. And basically, I was very suspicious at the time because you go into the and you're thinking this guy's famous for prosecuting and putting people in prison by proving what they did. And how's he working for OJ? Oh, that was when I started to think, so like it's all really about money. It's not really about justice. So that's how I started to become so cynical, was when I saw him do this. And now it makes sense because he also worked for China's FBI, which is called the Ministry of Public Security. That's what the communists call the secret police. Judge Henry Lee trained the Chinese secret police, folks. The guy who helped spring OJ also has helped the Chinese in their conquest of Western civilization, and he made a lot of money doing it. He's been the Chinese Ministry of Public Safety, by the way, has been involved in the authoritarian oppression of the Chinese people for decades. I don't have to. If you doubt that's true, then you're living in a fantasy world. China is a communist gang of criminally insane thieves who basically took control of a country. And they still have control. And they've oppressed and murdered millions of people. And Henry Lee helped. Yeah. The Department of Justice, in fact, has indicted one of Lee's former students for stalking a Wuhan Chinese official who was living in the United States. Listen, the folks that Henry Lee worked for used coercion, extortion, and intimidation to forcibly repatriate Chinese expat people who've escaped China. Henry Lee helped train forensic people to find them and get them back and kill them or oppress them. Just despicable. Despicable. And by the way, this is all documented in a book published by a leftist, Martha Byrne. She wrote a book in 2025, In the Interest of Justice. She reported all this. She works for ProPublica, which is a bunch of communists. Her husband was convicted of acting as an illegal foreign agent. Now listen to this. This is why I'm cynical. So this communist maniac writes a book documenting this all this Chinese spy activity as if it's all okay. She basically documented Henry Lee's illustrious career working for the Communist Chinese Party, murdering and oppressing and robbing people. Then her husband gets arrested because he's a Chinese spy. And then her Chinese spy husband of the communist author writing a glowing book about Henry Lee and all the communists, her husband gets pardoned by Donald Trump. Huh? Wait, what? Who? That's right. The communist spy was pardoned by Trump in November of 2025. And his conviction was vacated in March. And he walks. So anyway, color me cynical. And so meanwhile, what I know you all are concerned about more than any of this is what's going on with the latest dump of UFO files, and have we actually found any aliens? Because that's what people really care about, is whether or not intelligent life exists and has been probing, and can it help me win an argument against this guy on Facebook? And so what's happened now is there's been a second dump of UFO files. They don't call them UFOs anymore, by the way. In fact, they don't even call them unidentified aerial phenomena. They've changed that. Which, I mean, what's the point of all that? I'm not sure what that is, but I always get suspicious when bureaucracies and governments start shifting around the acronyms, okay? I remember when coronavirus became COVID, I started saying, what's going on with that? It's almost like somebody has a plan to do something with that. Well, now they're anomalous. What are they now? Unresolved anomalous phenomenon. They don't even have anything to do with the air anymore because, you know, the aliens, they could be in the sea. They could be under the ground. They might be in the walls. They might be inside my own head. I don't know. You got to be careful. You just never know. And we have now a retired Navy admiral. Ooh, he was a Navy admiral? That's impressive. Really? Yeah, that's kind of how I used to think about doctors and nurses before COVID. I used to be, oh, he's a doctor. She's a nurse. Wow, they must be smart. Then COVID happened and I realized, no, they're just people and mostly stupid. And weak and foolish and hysterical and superstitious. And so anyway, so here we have a retired Navy admiral. Forgive me if I don't bow, okay? He gives an interview in which he says, hey, he presents startling conclusions, according to WorldNet Daily, who's never above flogging a conspiracy, by the way. These startling conclusions that Events, listen to this, events are being directed by a higher order non-human intelligence. Events? What do you mean? Like everything or like history or just the fact that I can't get a job and I'm 40 pounds overweight and I'm generally a loser? Are those the events that are being directed by a higher order non-human intelligence? That would make me feel a lot better. It's not my fault I sit around and play video games all day and eat Cheetos. It's the higher order of non-humans. Obviously, they're directing events. What can I do? I'm just one guy. Come on. And listen, Rear Admiral Tim Gallaudet. He's a retired admiral. He's taken up for me. He says the Rear Admiral, he was interviewed by Tommy Lahren's Fearless podcast, which should tell you right there that it's just a chick with a computer and a microphone in her mom's basement. Yeah, like us. All right, but we don't claim to be anything more than that, okay? She says, I've got a Rear Admiral who says there's aliens. Anyway, here's what he says. He says about all the stuff he's seen. He says, I have not seen an alien. Okay. But what we really don't know is where they came from. Well, wait a second. I thought you said you hadn't seen one. Okay. So the aliens he hasn't seen, he says, what we really don't know is where they came from, what their nature is, and their intentions. So that's the thing. You don't have to see one to start worrying about this kind of stuff. You just retire and have a little too much time on your hands, and you need to make a little money, maybe sell a book. Pretty soon, it doesn't matter what you haven't seen. You're a retired admiral. Tommy Lahren will have you on because she can gin up some clicks. Everyone's interested in aliens. Everyone's afraid of the whole alien invasion thing. Anyway, the good admiral, he says, I know we are aware. He says, now he's never seen an alien, but there is something he knows. We are aware of higher order non-human intelligence that direct the movement of phenomena. Okay, do we know that? Maybe you know that. And like, are you on drugs? Because just because you were in the Navy, that's really not that impressive to a guy like me. So I know that makes a lot of the kids are impressed. Anyway, he says, and now although he's never seen an alien, he says what I do know is that there are craft, obviously, under intelligent control, that the only conclusion we can make is that there's some kind of higher-order non-human intelligence directing them. He says that's the only conclusion we can make.
Okay, so why is this news?
Well, because he's an admiral, for crying out loud, and it's about aliens. Why am I watching this? Because it's on TV. There's no real explanation. But I would raise a point of order with the good admiral. For you to imply that the only conclusion we can make, as if that includes me, is that there's a higher order of non-human intelligence. Okay, so you can make that conclusion, but forgive me, I don't make that conclusion. In fact, I conclude that most of the unresolved, they're not even aerial anymore, anomalous phenomenon, that's hard, right? UFOs, unidentified flying object, that's what we used to say back before people were interested in utilizing this for something. I'm not sure exactly what it's all about, but now it's unresolved anomalous phenomena. I'm going to assume, Mr. Admiral, that the unresolved anomalous phenomena are not, in fact, higher order non-human intelligence. In fact, I'm going to assume that most of them are tricks of the light and optical illusions and just other weird stuff that happens, because you know what? Weird stuff happens that's inexplicable. And just because you can't explain something does not obligate you to come up with an explanation. In fact, you'd be smarter just to shut up about it. So I don't know what these unresolved anomalous phenomena are, so I'm not going to address it. Other than to say, just because a retired admiral with a little too much time on his hands, who was in the Navy, who's of an age group where he may have been a drug addict at some point, for crying out loud, just because he says we can make no other conclusion, I say, well, we can make another conclusion. In fact, it's probably better to move on to another topic altogether, but we're about out of time. Oh, listen to what finally, the admiral says this regarding what he's actually seen. He says, I've seen data videos of objects that are so clearly not ours, it's our adversaries. No, it's not our adversary. It's not ours. And it's not our adversaries, he says. He says, I've seen data videos of objects that are so clearly not ours or our adversaries. What's a data video? Well, I don't know. What's a data video? I've never heard that term. That's an unresolved phenomenon right there. I've seen data videos. What's a data video? It's not a video? So how could you see it? Is that a figure of speech? Are you smoking dope right now, Admiral? Are you high? Come on. All right. That's it for the Weekly Worldview, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time. And until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.